Good morning, church. Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, whether in these pews or online, whether today or throughout the week. We are really glad that you are with us today. I don't have that many announcements today other than the Norwegian church service is next Sunday afternoon, and I'm preaching, but I don't remember what time the service is at. 2 o'clock? Okay, yeah. Someone picks me up, and I'm just there. No, I don't know, but yeah, it'll be a lovely time together, and. Really, really grateful to have the invitation to lead the service next weekend. Are there any other announcements?
The property committee had an unexpected agenda item on Monday, and we accepted the resignation of Chris Matheson and Mike Leinhardt as our indoor and outdoor custodians. So personnel and property will be in that process, and if you can start passing the word for somebody that you may know that would be interested in part-time jobs of caretaking the exterior and interiors of this facility, we would greatly appreciate that word being spread around. Chris and Mark are joyfully going to be changing their place of residency to Two Rivers. So we are joyful for their new adventure together. So with mixed emotions, I make this announcement.
Thank you, Deanne. Mm-hmm. We give great thanks for the work and the ministry of Chris and Mark, remembering the ways that they have lovingly tended this building, both in interior and exterior, with care and with a propensity for doing things extremely well, and with very thorough attention to detail and all of that. So we're just very thankful for them. Anything else? Okay, then if there's nothing else, let us join together and share in the peace of Christ with one another. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Good morning. Peace be with you. Good morning. Peace be with you. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Peace be with you. Good morning. Peace be with you. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Peace be with you. Thank you.
Please join me in the call to worship. It's inspired by Psalm 111. Praise the Holy One. Give thanks to God in the congregation.
God's works delight us, inspire us, challenge us, and uphold us.
Praise the Holy One. Give thanks to God in the congregation. Praise the Holy One. Give thanks to God in the congregation. Our opening hymn is number 502, Be Thou My Vision. Please join me in the opening prayer. Holy God, we come together in your presence to offer worship, thanksgiving, and praise. We remember your covenant and acknowledge your abiding presence. Envelop us in your glory, strengthen us to confront the weariness of the world, challenge us to spread the good news, and empower us to be the church you have created us to be. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. All right. So, how many of us have ever asked for help? I hope everybody raises their hand, because everybody asks for help at some point. But we're going to talk today about a guy named Solomon. Solomon was the son of David. David had been a great king. He had been a king that was very very well liked and very well appreciated, and he did what God asked him to do instead of what he wanted. And Solomon kind of wanted to do the same thing. So today we're going to be talking about how he asked God for help as he started to rule over Israel. And so when we pray to God, when we talk to God, when we are close to God, we are asking God for help. And when we pray to God, God will answer, and sometimes God will give us exactly what we ask for. Sometimes God will give us what we need, not necessarily what we want, but God will always give us what we need, and so we can be thankful for that. So friends, I will say a short phrase, And I invite you to repeat it back to me. Dear God,
thank you
for listening to us
when we ask you for help.
Help us
share your love,
share your compassion
wherever we go.
Amen.
In today's first reading, we encounter the beginning of Solomon's rule in Jerusalem, following the successful and generous rule of his father, King David. Hoping to live up to his example, Solomon has an important request for God. Hear these words from 1 Kings 2, verses 10 through 12, and chapter 3, verses 3 through 14. Then David lay down with his ancestors and was buried in David's city. He ruled over Israel 40 years, 7 years in Hebron, and 33 years in Jerusalem. Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his royal power was well established. Now Solomon loved the Lord by walking in the laws of his father David, with the exception that he also sacrificed and burned incense at the shrines. The king went to the great shrine at Gibeon in order to sacrifice there. He used to offer 1,000 entirely burned offerings on that altar. The Lord appeared to Solomon at Gibeon in a dream at night. God said, "Ask whatever you wish, and I'll give it to you." Solomon responded, "You showed so much kindness to your servant, my father David, when he walked before you in truth, righteousness, and with a heart true to you. You've kept this great loyalty and kindness for him, and have now given him a son to sit on his throne. And now, Lord my God, you have made me, your servant, king in my father David's place. But I'm young and inexperienced. I know next to nothing. But I'm here, your servant, in the middle of the people you have chosen, a large population that can't be numbered or counted due to its vast size. Please give your servant a discerning mind in order to govern your people and to distinguish good from evil, because no one is able to govern this important people of yours without your help." It pleased the Lord that Solomon had made this request. God said to him, "Because you have asked for this instead of requesting long life, wealth, or victory over your enemies, asking for discernment so as to acquire good judgment, I will now do just what you said. Look, I hereby give you a wise and understanding mind. There has been no one like you before now, nor will there be anyone like you afterwards. I now also give you what you didn't ask for, wealth and fame. There won't be a king like you as long as you live. And if you walk in my ways and obey my laws and commands, just as your father David did, then I will give you a very long life." Our second reading is a short excerpt from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. We'll be reading Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 20. "So be careful to live your life wisely, not foolishly. Take advantage of every opportunity, because these are evil times. Because of this, don't be ignorant, but understand the Lord's will. Don't get drunk on wine, which produces depravity. Instead, be filled with the Spirit in the following ways. Speak to each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music to the Lord in your hearts. Always give thanks to God, the Creator, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Here in the readings for today, may God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jane. Our media song for today comes from Mumford & Sons. This is "I Will Wait."
Heavy into your arms, days of dark, which we've known, will blow away with this new sun. But I'll kneel down, wait for now. And I'll kneel down, know my ground. And I will wait for you. And I will wait for you. So break my step and relent. Will you forgive? And I won't forget. Know what we've seen. Now in some way shake the excess. Cause I will wait for you. And I will wait for you. And I will wait for you. As well as strong, and use my head alongside my heart. So tame my flesh and fix my eyes, a tethered mind freed from the lies. And
thanks to Chris's daughter, Whitney Van Buren, for putting together that media presentation for us. My friends, will you join me in prayer? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this hour be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So my dad, who many of you know, has served his church in a lot of different ways. Among them have been terms on pastoral relations committees and church councils and the youth program. In particular, he was a high school Sunday school teacher for many years and a confirmation mentor
on multiple occasions. I never had my dad as a Sunday school teacher, a fact that I regularly reminded him of for many years. Even so, he taught me a lot about what it means to live a life of faith and truly modeled living a life of prayer and discernment. So as I think about the text for this week, where King Solomon asks God for a wise and discerning mind and a good, strong heart for his people, one such example of my dad's faith sticks out to me. One time, when it was his turn to lead Sunday school lessons, my dad had a particularly difficult time. Usually, he would often read through the curriculum on Saturday night to prepare, and then think of an activity or a discussion topic that would be particularly meaningful to his high school class. He usually works ahead, but Saturday night, just like a lot of Sunday school teachers, he procrastinated, and so I take after him a little bit in there. I remember being so proud of him for being a Sunday school teacher, and I remember just sort of watching him pay attention to what the Spirit was saying to him in a very meaningful way, and he was always such a very present and loving father to me, and so. So the fact that he was able to give more to his church family, I thought was a really lovely thing. And he understood that it was important to give back to his church family and to the youth in the church's care. I don't remember particularly what this lesson was about that week, but sometime when I was in middle school, my dad made a point of telling me the story that he had no idea what he was going to teach on that week. He had read over the curriculum for that week over and over and over again and couldn't find an entry point, couldn't find an activity or a discussion topic, and couldn't find a way to make it relevant for high school students in their time and place, something that is always important to do whenever you're a Sunday school teacher. And it's not easy to do, especially with that age. So he prayed, asking God for help to find a way to teach the lesson in a way that was meaningful and helpful to them. Then finally, in the middle of the night on Saturday, God showed up and gave him what he needed to teach that lesson. And I'm struck by how my dad wanted to do what was best for his Sunday school students, like King Solomon wants to do for the people of Israel. And today, I'd like to talk about what happens when we are attuned to the needs of the people in front of us, and how King Solomon can be an example of what happens when we are mindful of God's instruction. So our text does a pretty good job of placing us inside of the story. We understand that King Solomon is the son of King David, who ruled over Israel with generosity and with care. The success of David's reign is well documented, but not without controversy. And neither is Solomon's appointment. Many commentaries on this text remind their readers that Solomon's rise to power was the talk of the town, and that Solomon is not a perfect person. But even still, this part of the text has something to teach us about how to think about what is most important to God and follow that. As Solomon begins his reign over Israel, he is painfully aware of his own youth and inexperience. I love how the Common English Bible translates this lament. He says, "I know next to nothing, God."
It's as if Solomon is saying, prepare me, God, make me wiser. He's fully grasping the enormity of this calling, of this moment. He says, I'm here, your servant, in the middle of the people you have chosen, a large population that can't be numbered or counted due to its vast size. And I also love that Solomon regards the Israelites as this important people of yours. He regards these people with care and compassion because he understands that they are people that are close to God's heart. Solomon could have been, like many kings of his day, who instead of asking for a discerning heart, ask God for things that'll make their lives better, wealth and fame and fortune. But God is impressed by Solomon's desire, and gives those things to him anyway, even though Solomon doesn't even ask for them. But sometimes I wonder if we ourselves would be willing to be so attuned to what is close to God's heart. The renowned Latin American theologian Leonardo Boff urges anyone who reads his work to remember that anyone who serves God must be attuned to the cries of the earth and the cries of the poor. Depending on which American politicians your beliefs and your worldview are shared by, perhaps you think that those individuals follow the ways of God and the opposing politicians don't. You know, the RNC has already happened and the Democratic National Convention is this week. Many of us are going to be very attuned to the political landscape as the election draws near. But it really isn't as simple as thinking that some are all good and some are all bad, because it's not always that simple. Everybody has a little bit of good and a little bit of bad in them. Before we put Solomon on a pedestal, we have to remember that even Solomon falters. Later on in his reign, he worships other gods and implements forced labor and heavy taxes, the very things that God would not want him to do. It might not be unlike the politicians of today's day and age who say they're going to do one thing to get your vote and then end up doing another thing once they're in power. And it's a reminder to all of us that we aren't perfect, that we are multi-layered and multi-dimensional. But I'd like to think that it's not about being perfect. I think my dad would tell you that he doesn't know all there is to know about God or about Jesus, but he does know what's most important. My dad always taught me to love God and do your best to follow God and love the people in front of you. And it's in those moments that we find what truly matters. When we follow God's guidance and instruction and are attuned with God's will, God's glory will be revealed through us. And we will find true blessing. In today's media song by Mumford & Sons, they sing, "Now I'll be bold and I will be strong and use my head alongside my heart." I wonder how God is calling us to be bold and strong as we think of how people and situations are close to God's heart and those who need us are crying for our help. There are many ways we can do that. Perhaps it's as sacred
As preparing to teach high school Sunday school or any level of Sunday school, perhaps it's knowing how to care for the most vulnerable in a community where many churches and many individuals have a perspective that differs from some folks in the wider community. Perhaps it's remembering the life and witness of people like Kathy Carlson, a predecessor of mine who was an early advocate for social justice issues in this region. And if you read her obituary, she was just a remarkable woman. And I did not know her personally, but through reading that obituary, I got a window into the very important ways that her ministry impacted this place. So friends, may you be blessed this week with a wise and discerning heart from God as you carry out God's will. May you always be attuned to the cries of those most vulnerable. May you be attuned, as Leonardo Boff says, to the cries of the earth and the cries of the poor. And may you find joy in your advocacy and your care. Thanks be to God. Amen. So now we come into a time of more intentional prayer. Let's take a moment of silence as we think of those folks and situations who need our prayers and our love today. Receive the prayers of our hearts, O God. Amen. So what do we bring this morning to pray about?
I have a joy. My parents celebrated their 33rd wedding anniversary yesterday.
Wonderful. Congratulations to Alan and Amy. Anything else today?
From Dick Renz, a prayer request for his daughter, Lori Allen, who is having a serious 7-hour operation on Wednesday. And then Paul's sister, Elaine, is coping well with cancer.
Okay.
And coping with.
It's coping with.
And you said... Lori?
Lori Allen.
Yeah. For Lori, if I say God in your mercy, will you say receive our prayer? God in your mercy. And for Elaine, as she deals with cancer, God in your mercy. Anything else today? Oh, did I see? Oh, yes. Yes, Dan.
For my brother John, that's having serious health issues, so...
A prayer for John, who's having serious health issues. And this is Dan Pray's brother. God in your mercy. Anybody else? Okay. Then let us be in a spirit of prayer. God, in your grace and love, you offer us wisdom and discernment to hear the cries of the earth and the cries of the poor, the cries of those in need. We ask today for your presence to be with all of those who we have named, those who deal with health issues, those who deal with cancer, those who deal with difficulties in many different ways. We ask you to be with all of those in our country and in our world who are leaders, so that we might work together to build the kingdom that you ask us to build, a kingdom where everybody has enough food, where everybody has a safe place to lay their head at night, where nobody is discriminated against because of who they are and who you've made them to be. We ask all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to love each other and who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. You may give by placing your offering in the plate or giving online at uccwaupun.net. Join me in the prayer of dedication. Generous and wise God, you give freely and we receive freely. Sow us in discernment, understanding, and wisdom to be good stewards of the bounty we receive and the resources we have earned. Let us treat them all as gifts to be shared so that none will be in want or in need, to live full and abundant lives. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 569, God of Grace, God of Glory. We'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 4.
my friends, receive these words of benediction. May you experience the fullness of life. May abundance be your regular portion. May grace and hope and generosity be your guide. And may the joy of the Holy One sustain your days. Go in peace to love and serve. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace. Amen.